kings of disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master.
I lie down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security.
Right, well, I have a title, and we're calling our teaching today, It Will Pass. It Will Pass. And I'd like to kick off with this from Matthew 24. Matthew 24 and verse 35. Our title today is It Will Pass. And we're looking at Matthew 24 and verse 35. And the Lord says here, with regard to the parable of the fig tree, he's speaking about the end times and what to discern, what to see. And he says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. And I'd like to couple that with also from 1 John chapter 2 and verse 17. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 17. Wait a minute. 1 John 2 and verse 17. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. So we get two contrasts here. Firstly, our Lord says his word will abide forever, even though the earth and everything will go, that the word of God will abide forever. And 1 John also tells us here that the world is passing away, and the lusts of it, in other words, the sin, unfortunately, through the fall of man, but he who does the will of God abides forever. And of course, we do the will of God by our understanding of God's word. So we are beginning to see that things are rapidly falling away. Everything is slowly dying. And yet it's so interesting, isn't it, that we put so much trust in all of these things that are only temporary, that are passing away, that are not eternal, and yet somehow we put such confidence, such reliance upon these things. And God is trying to teach us that all of this will pass away. It will pass, and that's what we're calling this today. You see, all our everyday experiences is passing away. Whatever you experience today, whatever you went through, whatever trial or blessings or whatever, it has passed away. It's now history. And you can't bring it back. We can talk about it. Yes, we can talk about the blessings of God, how God has moved in our life, touched us, healed us, and blessed us and everything. And all of that is important. But it is history. It's passed away. Time is running out. Even if it's deja vu, it's only a feeling of having been or seen that before. You see, how often we have said you will feel better tomorrow, or the next day will be different. And so often it is. because what we are experiencing, what we may be going through, or what you're even going through right now, will pass away. And that's the wonderful blessing for the Christian who walks by faith, when we know that we walk with God. Because what this does, it helps us to not rely upon our feelings and our emotions that can cause us to sin or miss out from God or miss a blessing or whatever it is. Because the enemy wants to keep us bound in our flesh and in our emotions and senses. We know this because he attacked Adam and Eve in the garden. He attacked through the senses. And this is why I'm calling this teaching today, It Will Pass. You see, I believe God is teaching us to meet with him every day, every moment, every second of the day. In other words, it is walking in the Spirit and not in the flesh for the believer. And God was always exhorting the children of Israel that he was with them and that he would lead them and guide them, to reveal and show them that whatever they see, whatever they feel, whatever they go through, yes, it may be real, it may be real at this moment, but it will pass. It will go. And we have to hold on to this. We have to hold on to this in trial and in tests, particularly the physical ones. But it will pass. It will go. Now, of course, we get indications of this in Scripture. Let's just look at some of these Scriptures. I can't read them all because there are so many of them. But for example, let's look at Deuteronomy 31 and verse 8. Deuteronomy 31 and verse 8. And here he says, "And the Lord, he is the one who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Do not fear nor be dismayed." So there, Joshua, the new leader for Israel, God again confirms, like he did with Moses and all the saints, he's saying, "I'm with you, don't fear. Whatever you go through, I haven't forsaken you." And that takes us a time to learn this one. It takes us a time to get this from our heads to our hearts, that whatever we go through, God says, "I won't leave you." And when we begin to experience God, and that we know God is with us, he won't forsake us, we begin then to realize that whatever we go through, whatever's done, whatever's said, or whatever it will be, it will pass in Jesus' name. And it does. Why am I stressing this? Because God wants us to rise above these experiences. He wants us to rise above how the enemy tries to hold and keep us in fear and in bondage and unbelief. Let's turn to the book of Joshua, Joshua chapter 1 and verse 9. Here, Joshua, the new leader, taking the children of Israel, the remnant that is left, the younger generation, through to possess the promised land. And what does he say here again? "Have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage? Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." You see, when God makes covenant, one of the first things that he does, he reveals, "I am with you. I will not forsake you." That is part of covenant. That is the blessing. That is the covenant that God makes with us. For the very purpose for our trials and our testings that we go through, and he's showing us it's only for a season and it will pass. The enemy loves to blow things out of proportion. He loves to sensationalize everything. That is how he works. We see it in the world. We see it in politics. You see it at work. You see it in the family life. And at times it can be in the house of God. We have to learn that all of it will pass. Why? Because God is with us. He hasn't forsaken us. What does Isaiah have to say with regard to this? Let's turn to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah 41, verses 10 to 13. Isaiah 41, verses 10 to 13. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Behold, all those who were incensed against you shall be ashamed and disgraced. They shall be as nothing, and those who strive with you shall perish. You shall seek them and not find them. Those who contend with you, those who war against you, shall be as nothing, as a non-existent thing. For I, the Lord, your God, will hold your right hand, saying to you, fear not, I will help you. There we go again. God is saying, whatever the trial, whatever the enemy is throwing at you, it will pass because God is with us. God is right in the whole situation. I remember years ago going through a trial, and it was like as though the heavens were like brass. It seemed as though God had forsaken me. And all of this was the emotions in the flesh. And I remember so clearly the Holy Spirit impressing strongly to me. And he was saying, I am closer to you now than ever you can imagine or experience. I am closer to you now. And I just raised my hands and I said, this has got nothing to do with how I feel, what I see, what I hear. It's got nothing to do with it. And you see, all those emotions that we go through, the enemy tries to use, particularly in a trial. Just say to yourself, this will pass. I'm feeling bad at the moment, or I don't feel very well, or I feel the enemy is oppressing my mind. But this will pass because God has not forsaken me. And you need to say that out loud sometimes. And to the powers of darkness, well, Satan, you're trying to oppress me. You're trying to put all of these things on me or whatever it is. But it will pass because God is with me and he has not forsaken me. And you know, it often lifts quicker than you realize. It really does. What does it say in Matthew 28, verse 20, where Jesus gives the Great Commission to the church? What does he say here in Matthew 28 and verse 20? Teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So what he's saying here, I'm not only with you in this life, but throughout eternity as well. I don't forsake you. And that is probably the biggest lesson the Christian has to learn and experience from God. When we really get this one and we settle this with God, we will find that we are not carried to and fro. We're not by faith bobbing up and down like James says, but it causes us to become resolute, settled, unsettled by the trials and the things that we go through, because we know God is with us. Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego, who were thrown into the fiery furnace, knew in their heart God was with them. And he was. And he appeared in the flames. Jesus tested in the wilderness 40 days. And the enemy was very vocal, trying to get him to fall down and worship. But you notice, he knew his Father was with him, and he was able to overcome all of that. This is why I say you cannot overcome these things in your own strength, your own flesh, your determination. You cannot do it. You've already failed. You overcome in all of this when you experience the one who resides and lives in you and takes over in your life and my life. That is what the deeper life is about. That is what discipleship is. It is decreasing that he increases. We have to learn this, brothers and sisters. You see, we're learning that whatever we go through, it won't last. And this is why we wait on God. We're not hasty. You see, the enemy tries to keep us in the emotions. And if he can keep you in the emotions, he knows you will step out of line. Or you will react instead of acting by faith. That's why he does this. And this is why God allows us to go through trials. Because this is where we learn to walk by faith. A real faith. A faith that will endure and last and stand until he comes. That's why. Because you know as well as I do, when we allow the emotions or the fear or what we've heard, something said or what we've seen, very often it gets us to act or be hasty or do things in the flesh. And then you find you had to repent and come back and get right with God. That's what he's delivering us from. And when you can see that whatever you go through, well, it's only temporary, but it's going to pass. And it does. Because God is with us. Sometimes you don't feel very well. Sometimes you get up in the morning, you're just off colour. This happens to all of us. I don't always know why it is, but we do. So what do? Just mope and feel sorry for yourself and hibernate or whatever it is, or just carry on and it will pass. Why? Because the joy of the Lord is my strength. God is with me. He renews my youth like the eagles. It will pass, and it does. Sometimes we get up with those aches and pains, or your back's hurting or whatever it is. Well, praise God, it'll pass because God is with me. That is the point. You see, you must remember that the attacks of the enemy only last for a season. That is all God gives him. He may permit and give him permission to do something, but it is only for a season. We know that because of Job, the book of Job. Read it. But God said you will not take his life. See, God is sovereign, and he's sovereign over your life and my life. And he has only allowed the enemy a certain access, and he knows he cannot go a step over that. Why? Because we are in Christ Jesus, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And that is why it will only be for a season. It will pass. Tiredness, it will pass. Hunger, it will pass. All these natural things that we can experience and go through, it will pass. And you see, Satan tries to hold us in it so that we react in our circumstances. And sometimes that reaction, where he holds us and we're listening too much to what he's saying, can cause us to sin. You find it in the scriptures. It's from cover to cover. This old trick of the enemy, what he tries to do. Because we're failing to see that although I'm going through what I'm going through, or the enemy is trying what he's trying, it will pass, because God is with me, leading me and guiding me. You will come to that place, brothers and sisters, when you will realize the attacks of the enemy are not attacking you, they are attacking the one who resides and lives in you. And his name is the Lord Jesus Christ. And he has overcome all the powers of the enemy at Calvary. And that is what the enemy doesn't want you believing and trusting in. And that is why he tries to hold us in fear, in sickness, depression. And he tries to affect our confession, so that we don't confess what the Word of God says. He's a master at it. It's time we wake up and start to become astute to his devilish ways of trying to grip and hold us in bondage and unbelief. The children of Israel are an example of this. This is why we are seeing people held in their lusts and anger and sin. And sadly, it's even amongst Christendom. We know this very well, but let's turn to it again in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. This clearly reveals the days that we are in. The children of Israel didn't want to rely or believe that God said he was with them. And they knew he was with them because they saw the cloud by day and they saw the pillar of fire by night. I mean, if that isn't supernatural, I don't know what is. But did they believe? No. Because they were so gripped in their emotions and their feelings. And of course, we have those. Of course we do. But where our faith and our belief in the promises of God are, they don't come in on that. Our faith comes in on that. Our believing in the promises take over on that. I cannot believe in the promises of God because it emotionally appeals to me, or I like what I read. I can only stand and believe the promises of God when it is faith, when it is a revelation revealed to me. There's the difference. Now, what does he say here in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1? Here is exactly what I'm talking about. But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves. So we're immediately going into the flesh, into the emotions, the pride. Lovers of money. So money makes them what? Feel good, feel powerful, independent, boasters, proud. In other words, they tell a lot of lies that are not really true. Blasphemers. Well, they defaming the Lord all the time. All that he does, his handiwork, they're blasphemers. It's not just swearing, blasphemy. I mean, that's enough of that comes out. It's a lot more than that. Disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving. All of that's dealing with emotions, feelings, resentment, unforgiveness, a slander, without self-control. We're seeing all of that now. The behavior of so many people is appalling. They're brutal, despisers of good. They don't like anything that is good. Wow, if that isn't what we're seeing today, I don't know what is. All of this is, they're held in the emotions by the powers of darkness. Traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, denying its power. From such people, turn away. They're not of the faith. They think their faith lies in all of what we've just read there, and it doesn't. You need to read the fruit of the Spirit. You need to read the great love chapter, 1 Corinthians 13. Completely the opposite of that. And for of this sort, those who creep into households and make captive of gullible women, loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts, always learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of truth. Why? Because they don't mix faith with that which they hear, which is exactly what the children of Israel did. They heard, but they didn't mix faith with that which they heard, because they still wanted the emotions, the flesh, the feelings. And all of that passes. You can't put any trust in any of these things. And this is what people do today. They put their trust in money. They put their trust in all of these things. They like to be disobedient because it's cool. Unholy. It's nice to be a rebel. Unloving. Well, I'll only love those who love me, but I'm not going to love them otherwise. All of these things they boast in. You see it today. Because they're gripped and held by feelings, emotions. The enemy has so got them. And this is why God is doing that deliverance with us, like he is. This is what you're getting delivered from, brothers and sisters. And that is why he allows you to go through these trials, to get you delivered from all that is found here in 2 Timothy chapter 3. And thank God he is. Whatever we hear, whatever we're learning, let's always, by the mercy and grace of God, mix faith with that which we hear. The parable of the sower, in other words. And so we see people that are held in their lusts, held in their anger. And this is why we're seeing such mental problems and behavioral problems in these last days. Why even governments, medical people are concerned about mental issues. because they're demons behind all of these things. Where you are trapped in emotions and feelings, demons will feed off that. They're like leeches. That's their nature. And that is what is happening now in these last days. You see, living in feelings, emotions, greed, lusts, you will never know that God is with you, leading you, guiding you. And yet God says they want all of those lusts. They lust after it and everything. But what does God say? It's going to pass away. And it's going to let you down. Your love for money, your feeling of being secure by money will let you down. Why? Because it will pass away. We need a godly fear with that, what God is showing, so that we're totally dependent upon him. And that we don't lust after any of these things, but that God can bless us. That's why he says, seek first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. As we seek the kingdom, it will be added. You don't have to lust after it or try or manipulate or work in that sense. God will give it all that you need. I've said this one for many, many years. This is what God was trying to teach the children of Israel in the wilderness, but they would not have it. Why? Because they were gripped by their emotions, their feelings, the flesh. And you can't mix faith with that. And we try to do it. Faith is completely independent, separated from how you feel, what you see, what you hear, what you're going through, what your eyes see, what you smell, what you touch, or whatever. Faith has got nothing to do with that. It is choosing to believe the promises of God's word and what he has said. And settle it. You may not feel very excited about that. You may feel nothing when you settle on the word of God. Very often I don't. But I know it's what God has said and not what man tries to say. And there's the difference. There's the difference. Because this is all about God's presence being with you. And all the while we're gripped and held in the flesh, you will never experience God's presence with you. And this is why he teaches us discipleship. This is why we're to take up our cross daily and follow him. Because he's teaching us to walk by faith and not by sight. And yet the tragedy with some, and you've even got it in the house of God, they still want the old ways. They still want a faith, but they still want to trust in the world as well. And it just doesn't work. They are like fire and water. And they want it, but God says it will pass and it's going to pass away. And what a price they are paying for something that is momentary. That is the devil's lie, his trickery. He wants us to be held in unbelief. And that is what he's fighting. I know he's fighting that in FGA. But it's going to pass away, brothers and sisters. But the word of God will never pass away. All of these things, All that you may have, all that you've blessed with, whatever it will be, it's all going to pass away. Trust me. But these promises that we stand on, and the very presence of God that is with us, leading and guiding us, that will never pass away. And we must not listen to the enemy any longer and his tricks, his lies, because he wants to keep us gripped in our feelings and our emotions. And we will begin to see faith working. We will begin to see answers to our prayers. We will see these greater works that Jesus spoke of. And we will walk like Jesus walked, because he knew he was one with his Father, and nothing could separate him from the love of God. And that is what we have to learn, brothers and sisters. Nothing will separate me from the love of God. His love is so strong, so great, so infinite, that he can work through the hardest of heart, through the greatest of unbelief, in which we can experience his presence 24/7. Brothers and sisters, it will pass. Heavenly Father, again we thank you for encouraging us, speaking to us, showing us how we are to walk in these last days. And Lord, we all of us at times have fallen short. We've allowed feelings, emotions to take the upper hand. But because you are with us and never leave us or forsake us, we were able to come through and get delivered. And Father, we're truly grateful for that. We want to stand by faith in these last days. It is our heart's desire that the Word of God is what we believe, confess, and stand upon. And you've said that you are with us and you will never leave us or forsake us. And Father, I believe the reason that you have spoken like you have today is because it is so important we know that whatever we go through, we have that experience, that certainty that God is with me in every situation. I believe, Father, that is ultimately what you're doing, so that we come to that place where we are in fellowship 24/7, in unbroken fellowship, because the powers of darkness want to keep trying to break that fellowship that we have with you. But he is defeated. He will go no further. For you have triumphed at Calvary, and you have sent the power of the Holy Spirit, your very self, into our life, into our heart. And so, Lord, we thank you for this. If God be for us, who can be against us? Because you have said, it will pass. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Jesus' name.
So disaster, let him in constancy follow.
Before you, and cradled in the love of Jesus.